God is good. Amen. So we got a lot to do. We got a Royal Ranger Fort. We're finishing up and going to be dedicating that. So the momentum is building. And I just believe that this year is going to be a great year. When we get to the end of this year, I believe every seat's going to be full. I believe that all the promises and the vision that God has given our pastor through the years, that God will reward that. And we thank the Lord for what his blessings are going to be. Amen. So, Brother Baker, you can begin the sermon now. All right. All right. Thank you, Brother Baker. The title of the message tonight is Surviving the Storm of Bitterness. And we are continuing this series on the storms of life. We've been doing this for several months. And tonight I want to talk to you about the storm of bitterness. And we've talked about fear. Last Wednesday night, our pastor preached on surviving the storm of fear. A few Wednesday nights ago, I talked about unanswered prayer, and we've also talked about insecurity and a host of others. And so tonight we're talking about surviving the storm of bitterness, and we're going to talk about a problem that sometimes affects and infects our hearts, and it's the problem of bitterness. Many Christians are bitter brothers and bitter sisters. They are soured saints. They're caustic Christians. They need spiritual revival. And as a matter of fact, these kinds of people are a blight everywhere they go. And they do more, perhaps, to hold back the fire of revival and blessing of God on a church and a family than perhaps drunkards, gossips, terrorists, or the gay agenda. Bitterness is a big thing, and it is a major Cat 5 storm that we all are going to have to go through and deal with. So with that in mind, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, and that's our main text, and our specific text is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. I'd like for you to stand for the reading of the word of the Lord tonight. I just feel the Lord in this house tonight. You know, when you have a church that has a reverence and an honor and a manifest presence of God, that's an amazing thing. And it does not just happen. The presence of God that we feel in our services is a result of things that are done. And those things are prayer, love, unity, working together, pleasing God, a focus, a vision, and thank the Lord for what he's doing in our midst. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And let me just add this in, that not only do we have people that sing and talents and connection team, but even like Brother Bradley and Brother Elam, they preached while the pastor was on vacation. I mean, they preached a message. And both of those messages have stayed into my spirit. How blessed we are. Amen? Amen. Turn around to somebody. You're blessed and highly favored. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And thank God it didn't fall, for it was founded upon the rock. I'm going to just stop right there. That's what we want to be. We want to be on the rock and survive the storms of life. Now go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Read it out loud with me. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, Father, thank you tonight that we can survive the storm of bitterness. Anoint your servant to preach the word, and we'll give you the praise, Lord. May I decrease, and may you increase, and may your word have free course tonight, and we'll give you all the glory. And everybody said amen. And if you love the Wilson, say amen. Aren't we glad to see Brother Wilson back tonight? Amen. You may be seated. They've been going on some trips and different family functions, and certainly miss them when they're not here as well. Amen. The word bitterness that is used is the word we get the word bite from. I'm going to repeat that. The word bitterness, the root word, is the same word we get the word bite. Have you ever been bit by something before? Spider, tick, snake. In 2006, there was a movie that came out. I would have never gone to see it, but it was a box office hit. The title of the movie was called Snakes on a Plane. FBI agents Neville Flynn, played by Samuel L. Jackson, and Sean Jones, by Nathan Phillips, they're tasked with escorting a witness, an ex-mobster, to a high-profile trial to keep him safe from those that would harm him. But as the film's title suggests, an onboard assassin determined to rid them of their precious cargo and kill the mobster, they unleash a crate full of venomous snakes in the air. Like that movie, Snakes on a Plane, you have no greater problem than dealing with the bite of bitterness on the journey to your destination. How do you respond to bitterness? How about this? How do you recognize bitterness? You see, you can recognize bitterness because some people have a lot of good points to them. But like a porcupine, you better not get close to them. Bitterness is something we need to recognize in others so we know how to pray for them and know how to love them. But bitterness is harder to recognize in ourselves. Because like an iceberg, the problem is beneath the surface. You see, sometimes bitterness shows itself in a person and it comes out. They all the time come out harsh. They come out critical. They come out full of anger. A bitter person is like that. No matter what, how are you to find, you know, then we know something's down there. Something's biting. Come on. One little something just sets them off. One little piece of furniture is moved 3 inches and they explode. It's not the furniture. There's bitterness down there. And then there's some people who are not volcanoes. There's some people who are like, who are just walk around and no joy and always sad, depression, and all of that. So how do you recognize it? How do you respond to it? And most importantly, how do you survive the storm of bitterness? Because I promise you, as like I've said before, the weatherman is seeing it. It's coming. There's going to be something said, something done, someone that you love, someone that you highly regard, someone, somehow, somewhere. All of us are going to have the bite of bitterness. So let me give you 3 things tonight. Number one, the actuality of bitterness, or the reality, or the actuality, if you want to write these down, because this outline tonight, I really should have printed for you. The actuality of bitterness. How does bitterness come? How does the bite come? Why do we get bitter? Why do we feel the bite that comes with bitterness? Well, first of all, it could be because of the deeds of people. Say that with me. The deeds of people. What people do to us. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1 says, he said to his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Brother, I'm just going to tell you, it's an impossibility not to be bit by bitterness or offenses come. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. So that means there's going to be people that curse you. There are going to be people that despise you or despitefully use you. There'll be people who will persecute you. There are deeds of people. It could be a fellow member of the church. It could be somebody you work with. It could be a preacher. But bitterness comes from the deeds of people. And by the way, while I'm on this subject, I'm talking about the deeds of the people coming to you. Make sure that you be careful that you don't create bitterness in others. Always, that's a good reason to always compliment people and be thankful to people. Show your appreciation to people. Be patient with people and just be genuine and loving in your spirit, because you don't want to go to heaven and God say, you know what, you really hurt somebody's feelings. Well, it was their fault their feelings got hurt. No, And the Bible says, woe by them by whom the offenses come. We have an obligation to factor in people. We don't barge in and just take the say, I'm, you know, we've got to be wise, and we've got to have compassion. We've got to be forgiving and hold things very loosely. We've got to train ourselves to forget and forgive quickly through the blood of Jesus Christ, and not hold grudges and hold things against people. We've got to be people for whom not offenses and bitterness comes through us, but the love of Christ and the compassion and passion and love of God. People, let me tell you something. Somebody, always learn this and always remember this. Hurting people hurt people. And so if somebody hurts you, then often it is because they have been hurt themselves. So bitterness comes through the deeds of people. Say amen. Sometimes bitterness comes through the deception of Satan. Look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. This is an actuality of bitterness. Revelation 12 and verse 10. And it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For what? For what? Is it up there, Brother Bluey? For the accuser of the brethren. Now, that tells me that Satan accuses us. He pours on things that can cause us to be bitter. And I'll tell you, Satan is a deceiver. He whispers lies into your mind. You've got to rebuke the enemy. There's a voice constantly speaking to you, and if you listen to it, you'll be bitten by the spirit of bitterness. Go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, now the serpent was what? More subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said. And I want you to know, Satan is subtle. He has a plan. He's not omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. But I will tell you this, he's wise. And he's been around a long time. And he knows human nature, and he knows humanity. He knows how people are, and he's poured it on. And he is wise, and he is subtle. And you've got to, you know, Satan, if he came out as a deceiver for who he was, you'd recognize it. That's why you need a pastor. That's why you need a church body. That's why you need friends that come up and say, hey, you know, you're saying things, you're doing things, you're responding in ways that perhaps Satan is trying to deceive you. Can I get a witness out there? So bitterness can come. Satan will whisper to you when they don't like to hear you sing. You know what that is? That's a lie from Satan. Ain't nobody said that. It come into your mind. Now, I think that we need to rebuke the enemy. Amen. Or Sister So-and-so didn't shake your hand. Well, Sister So-and-so might not have been in there. And by the way, I've said this before. Just make sure you shake everybody's hand. So the devil, we just quit that right there. They teach us at Best Buy, we don't walk just past customers. We greet every customer. And as church members, how many of you church members are here tonight? Do you know what membership means? Membership is your name's on the roll. It means you've signed up for work. And it also means you have privileges. Amen. Privileges of being blessed by music, being blessed by good word preaching, being blessed by, if you're sick, you know, you got somebody to call. But with privileges, there are supposed to be some responsibilities. Amen, everybody. And so what do we have? We want to hold you responsible. We want you to go out of your way to be friendly to people that you don't know and people who may not be as friendly in return. Oh, I feel the Lord here tonight. The camp meeting is on. Amen. Now, not only do we get bitterness because, good gracious, about to scare the mess out of me, I'm telling you. I thought the rapture was about to take. I was about to get bit by bitterness. Amen. All right. So let's take care of the kids here and make sure everything's good. All right. All right. All right. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Everybody say hallelujah. Praise God. All right. You can have bitterness because of the deeds of the people. Say amen. You can have bitterness because of the deception of Satan. Can you say amen? Now, let me tell you where else bitterness can come from. And you're going to be shocked at this. Bitterness can come from the direction of God. Oh, really? Well, go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. It says, now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? If you've got to understand something. John had been a mighty worker for the Lord. Say amen. John was prophetic, had a prophetic birth, had a prophetic life, and a prophetic ministry. But John was thrown into prison. And God had allowed him to go to prison, and it didn't look, and Jesus was running around healing the sick. Jesus was running around doing these great things. And John, to be quite honest with you, felt like I'm missing the action. And so he sent this little terse email. Well, are you the one, or should we look for another? I mean, come on. You can't see this in the Bible, but please understand that John was dealing with some bitterness. And Jesus sent back, and you tell John, the sick are being healed and the lame are walking. And by the way, John, blessed is he that is not offended in me or because of me. Listen, the direction of God. Sometimes God puts you in places that you would just rather not be. Now, just be honest with you. We think it's all rosy. We think it's all televangelists and helicopters and $54 million jets. And we think it's everybody serving us. And when we think of being blessed and highly favored, we think of no pain, no problems, no situation. Let me tell you, God sometimes leads us through paths that are not pleasant to us for the moment. And we got to be careful that we don't get bitter at God's assignment, at God's placement, at God's providence. Let me tell you, the martyrs of the church were led to dungeons. Some of them were beheaded. Some of them were killed. But many of them remained faithful to the Lord because they would not suffer the bite of bitterness. If you're praying and you're seeking the Lord and you're honestly saying, Father, send me where you want to send me, use me where you want to use me, do through me what you want to do through me, then when he does it, don't get bitter when it ain't like you want it. So God's direction, I think of, and sometimes the tragedies of life, you say, well, why did God allow this? And I don't know the details and the theology of that, but I think of all of our presidents who used the Bible in their inaugural address, all of them but one did. And that was the 14th president, Franklin Pierce. Brother Elam, you remember Brother Pierce? The 14th, I'm just speaking. Don't get bitter, brother. Don't get bitter. Yeah, all right. I'm telling you, he's eternal. Amen. Franklin Pierce, just a few months before he was sworn into office, Pierce and his wife and their 11-year-old son, Benny, were involved in a terrible train wreck. Neither Pierce nor his wife was hurt, but their son, Benny, was killed. Pierce could not imagine how God would let such a thing happen in the hour of his celebration. So angry with God, so bitter with God, he was the only president that refused to have a Bible during his swearing into office. So don't blame God and don't question God unduly. I don't think it's wrong to question God. I question myself when I'm going through that. Lord, am I really hearing from you? Am I really? And then the Lord will remind me, yes, I put you here. Yes, I led you here. Yes, I confirmed it this way. And now, Lord, you didn't tell me it was going to be like this. But God never tells us what it's going to be like. He just says, obey me and trust and obey. There is no other way, because in the end, you're going to be crowned for every trial. In the end, God to wipe every tear from your eye, and he that goeth forth and weepeth and beareth precious seed shall doubtless come again, bringing his seeds with him. You are not God, and so when God leads, trust your heavenly Father, and he will make it all right, even though for a season you may be fighting those snakes on that plane of your journey called bitterness. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then finally, bitterness comes not only from the deeds of people, the deception of Satan, the direction of God. Sometimes it comes from just the decision of the individual. In other words, you just choose to do it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. You say, I have a choice in this thing called bitterness? Yes, sir, you do. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. What does the apostle tell us? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. I have a choice. Paul said, do not let bitterness rule your spirit and rule the church and rule your life. You have to choose. I refuse to be bit by the serpent of bitterness. Somebody say amen. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 through 13 or verse 12. Take heed, brethren. This is a warning. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We have a decision. And how many of you are deciding tonight that you are going to survive the storm of bitterness? If you believe it, would you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? Amen. Now, I've talked to you about the actuality of bitterness. And this is where some of it comes from. Now, let me give you the anatomy. Let's talk about the consequences, the recognition of it. The Bible describes bitterness. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. It speaks of bitterness as a root. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root. Somebody say root. Root is something that is unseen. In fact, it's likened to venom. Really, if you do a word study on this, you can almost consider this to be talking about venom. We know what venom is. When a snake bites you, he injects something unseen. And if it's a poisonous snake, depending on what type of snake it is, depends on how you've got to get that venom out. Because if it comes up and hits the heart, you're gone. You're out of here. It'll kill you. That's what happened to the alligator man. What was this? Steve Irwin from Australia. Oh, she's a beauty, mate. And he'd get over there and get in there with those alligators and those terrible animals. And I was reading a book by Charles Swindoll, and please forgive me for saying that, because I don't like to mention books that I read. I just don't. People think you're just bragging. I promise you, it takes me 5 years to read some books. I promise you, I read one paragraph at a time. I'm not that great on it. I promise you, other people can read a whole lot faster and more than I do. But I did read Charles Swindoll's book, and he was talking about the man that runs around with the alligators and the snakes and makes fun of them. And he said in that, he said he will not have a long life. This was before he got killed. And I thought, you know, and there he is. He's with this big stingray. And the stingray, he's getting close to him. And that stingray went right to the heart. And that venom got in, and they couldn't. He was gone. And so we don't. And friend, let me tell you, you may not die physically, but if you don't get that venom out of you, you will die in a sense. You will die to your effectiveness. You will die to your witness. I'm going to say this. It just came to my mind. Sometimes people can get so bitter in church that they don't even invite their children. I'll go to people. I have been. Why don't you invite your son? Why don't you invite your daughter? Why don't you ever invite your children? Well, church ain't just like it used to be, and I just don't invite them. No, you're bitter, and you're ruining your witness for the Lord. Listen, we have got to be careful, because we're going to think, if we can, all think about the church ain't what it used to be. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I look to the book of Acts, I know we still have a long way to go. But it has never been a time in history, even at the early church had problems. There's always going to be problems. But God said, I'm going to dwell in my people. And the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. I know we preachers have preached it, you know, so long that we kind of get deaf to it. But I'm reminding you, and maybe some of you listening, the Bible says, do not weakly, if you forsake. You know what that means? That means you're accountable for it. That means you're responsible for it. Forsake. Don't let a root of bitterness keep you from, I'll never go to church again, because all preachers want is money, and all they see is these televangelists with 20-room mansions. But that's not the way it really is. That's an exception, not the norm. Can I get an amen out there? If you want to, if you think preachers live great and high, just come to my house. I'll show you around. I'll show you where the windows are cracked. And I'm renting a house right now. I have owned a home, and I'm planning to own one in the future, a nice one. Nothing wrong with preachers having a nice house. Can you say amen? God blesses his servants, but those are well-deserved, earned, hard-earned preachers who are there 24-7. Don't get a root of bitterness because of some reason you weren't recognized. Hello? Well, he acknowledged this one, and he acknowledged that one, and he acknowledged it, but he didn't acknowledge me. And that's one reason why we preachers got to be careful too. You know, we start saying thank you and thank you and thank you. And then I'm like, oh Lord, they're going to think I haven't forgotten. But folks, it's a root. It's something unseen. And then the fruit, go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. It says, lest any root of bitterness, what's the next word? Springing up, trouble you and many be defiled. Trouble. Say the word trouble. The word trouble speaks of a vexation. The word literally means to crowd or push out. Thus, what the writer is describing is that bitterness now has sprung up and it pushes out things in our life. It begins to push out joy. It springs up. It pushes out peace. It pushes out. It crowds us. Didn't Jesus say that there was the seed sown and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word? And I'm going to say this, and I love you, but I've heard it over the years. Well, that preacher's preaching just doesn't do anything for me. Is it the preacher's preaching or is it you got something choking the word? Because I could accept it if five other people didn't get saved listening to the same message. Okay. All right. We got to start saying, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Can I get a witness out there? I'm telling you, it's not my, what does it say, church? It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh God, cast out the beam out of your eye, the log out of your eye, the tree, before you get on somebody's pine needle and say how bad that is. We got to say, Lord, search me and create in me a clean heart and see if there be any wicked way. Lord, I don't want to fail of the grace of God. I don't want to be a holier than thou. I don't want to look down at people. I don't want to be bitter. I want to be a blessing. And I want to show the love of God, the same love that you showed to me. Amen. So what are some of the fruits of bitterness? Here's what will happen. This is just a few things here. There's a lot here. It's really more than one sermon. Bitterness will devastate you spiritually. Spiritually. A man was saying how his two children, listen to this. A man was saying how his two children were fighting. One was really aggravating the other. And then all of a sudden, after that one child really hurt the other child, then that child that had hurt the other child came up and said, oh, daddy, I love you. Can we play? Amen. So a father has two children. And if you hold bitterness in your life, if you allow bitterness to come from your life, it'll affect your relationship with your father. Amen? It'll devastate you spiritually. A bitter person is not going to have a prayer life that a person without bitterness has. A bitter person is not going to have the anointing on their life like other people have. You know there's a difference in people and the anointing on their life. It just is. There's people that sing, and then there's people that are anointed to sing. There's people that preach, and there's people that are anointed to preach. And that doesn't mean, the anointing doesn't mean that it's always going to be a slam dunk or a grand slam or whatever, but it does mean there's a tangible presence of the Lord on their life. And I've seen people that in choirs, I've seen preachers. I have actually seen preachers that were so bitter that you could feel the bitterness coming out of them and it choked the effectiveness. You can't have a relationship with your father while you're hurting your brothers and sisters. You can't say that I love God whom I don't see and love those who I do see. Amen? Bitterness will destroy you spiritually. It'll devastate you spiritually. Somebody say spiritually. This is what this thing's all about. Spiritual experiences. I want to be saved. I want to be sanctified. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I want God to use me in the manifestation gifts. I want to be a powerhouse. I want to know Scripture. When somebody asks a question, I want to be always ready to give an answer according to 1 Peter. I want to be such a servant of God that people on my job will say, what's about him or her? And, oh, it's Jesus that he serves. Amen. I don't want to, bitterness will hinder your spirituality. You won't read the Bible daily if you're infected with the venom of bitterness. The Bible won't, you can read it, but it won't speak to you. How many of you know there's a difference in reading the Bible and the Bible reading you? Amen? What's the difference? Reading the Bible is you just read it. But the Bible reading you is when you read it and, oop, that's a word for me. Amen. Or, oop, that's something I heard the other day. It's the word of God speaking back to you. And if you have bitterness in your life, then it will devastate you spiritually. Say amen. Amen. Bitterness will devastate you spiritually. The bitterness will destroy you physically. Dr. S.I. McMillan said, "The moment I started hating a man, I became his slave. I can't enjoy my work anymore because he controls my thoughts. The man I hate hounds me wherever I go. He whips my thoughts into such a frenzy that my inner spring mattress becomes a rack of torture." Can't sleep. Physically, bitterness will tear you up emotionally. I think of a man by the name of Otto von Bismarck, who was the Chancellor of Germany during World War I. Toward the end of his life, he got mired down in the quicksand of bitterness, and he never got out. He carried a vial of bitterness in his blood the rest of his life. One morning, as an old man, he got up and went to the breakfast table, sat down, and said to his family, "I spent the whole night hating." That man had such hip... It's a little funny to read that, but though it's not funny. That man... Because I'm going to tell you, it is true. It's true. People do that. That man had such a heavy burden of bitterness that toward the end of his life, it literally crushed his health. So much so that he had a beard to hide twitching muscles in his face. His body became racked with jaundice, gastric ulcers, gallstones, and shingles. When he was offered a large sum of money to write his memoirs, he gladly accepted, and he began to stay up all night. He wrote with reckless abandon for truth, heaping hate on men and women who had been dead 20, 25, and 30 years. The thing that he began to live for became the thing that killed him. He died at the age of 83, bitter, cynical, lonely, and self-consumed. Bitterness. It'll devastate you spiritually. It'll destroy you physically. It will deplete your ministry. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. It says, "Wherefore lift up the hands that do what? And the what? Feeble knees." Knees. So bitterness will deplete your ministry because your hands will be hanging down. Your knees will be weak. And in this day and hour, when we're fighting against the forces of hell, the Bible says we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible says, "Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might." We are to run the race that is set before us. And if you've got bitterness, your knees are going to be weak. And by the way, your knees can represent prayer, because a bitter man is not a praying man, and a praying man is not a bitter man. And God, you got to break through, pray through until you break through, or it's going to break you, this thing called bitterness. It'll deplete your ministry. I mentioned it earlier ago. You won't have an anointing to speak, to preach, to minister, to witness, to teach. You will lack ministry opportunities. Say amen, somebody. Amen. And not only that, it will divide the unity. Divide the unity. It says many will be defiled. Bitterness is like a volcano, and it oozes the lava of infected and burning and devastation, sometimes throughout entire congregations. sometimes throughout entire movements, that spirit of bitterness. It'll divide the unity of the church. And the Bible says when we're together in unity, it says it's what? It's like an anointing that runs down and just flows, and there's ointment and there's a flow and there's a soothingness to unity. Folks, do everything, the Bible says, to protect and guard the unity of the church. Sometimes we have to surrender to our thoughts. Sometimes we have to surrender to our great ideas. Come on now. Say amen. Help me out now. Oh, Lord. If you made it through that point, we're okay tonight. Amen. Because everybody's got ideas and thoughts, and we ought to do it this way. We ought to do it that way. But somewhere in there, we got to say, okay, let's come together in unity and find the best way. I love it when I'm wrong. There's been a couple of times over the last few years that I said, well, if that preacher goes to that church, that'll be a big mistake. Why? Because I know the church and I know the preacher. I know what his giftings are, and I know what that congregation's history is. And it'd be a train wreck coming. And sad to say, a couple of times I was dead on. But once or twice, thank the Lord, I was wrong. God intervened. The Lord changed the preacher and the congregation, and they're doing great tonight. Amen? I'm telling you that bitterness will divide the unity of the church, and many. Let me tell you, bitterness does more to stop revival than the radical gay agenda will ever do. It's not the radical gays that are going to stop revival at Westmoreland. But I'll tell you, division will in a heartbeat. And unforgiveness will in a split second. It's not abortion doctors. People got and kill them, and that's not right. But it's not abortion doctors. It's not lack of property, lack of programs, lack of funds. A lot of times it's just bitterness, and we need to survive the storm of bitterness. Somebody say amen. The actuality of bitterness, how does it come? Through the deeds of people, through the deception of Satan, through the direction of God leading us in places we are hard sometimes and we question him, and we can begin to get bitter through his direction or through circumstances that he allows, and then through the decision of the individual. We make a choice. Number two, the anatomy of bitterness, the root and the fruit. It'll devastate you spiritually, destroy you physically. It'll deplete your ministry and divide the unity. So what's the answer? By the way, I did all that just for y'all since y'all missed the rest of it. You're going to remember that, right? Oh, Lord, I got to do it again because here comes the girls. Praise God. What's the answer for bitterness? Anybody want to know? That's right. That's a quick, simple answer. Amen. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same. How many of you believe that tonight? He is the answer for bitterness. But let's go back a little bit. The answer for bitterness, it's two things. Number one, Ephesians 4:31. Recognize the need. Let's go back to this scripture. Read it with me. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away among you. The answer to bitterness is to recognize it. You cannot get a cure until you have a diagnosis. Amen. You can't begin to treat cancer or heart disease or as Simon Shabinga says, sugar diabetes. You can't do that until you at least know that you have sugar diabetes. Amen. You've got to know it. You've got to recognize bitterness. Now, if you look at your life really good and you're like, I don't think there's any bitterness in my life. That might be true. But I will tell you this. As long as you read the word, and if you'll ask some of your friends to be honest with you, they might see, you know, we all have what's called blind spots. Somebody say amen. How many of you drive a car? How many of you drove a car here tonight? Some of you, I hope you didn't drive. If you're 16 and younger, all those who are 16, 17, 18, 19, park on that side of the parking lot, okay? I'm parking on this side of the parking lot. That's right. How many of you know when you're driving, there's a what? Blind spot. You look back, you don't see it. You look forward, you don't see it. You even look in your mirror, you don't see it. Oh, nobody's there. And you move over and hopefully somebody's horn is working. That's a blind spot. Recognize the need. Ask God to give you wisdom. And I promise you, once you make the diagnosis, he's got the prescription. Because what is the prescription? And then Exodus 15 and 25. The answer for bitterness is recognize the need. Say amen. And then refocus on the cross. Exodus 15 and 25. This is Moses when he came to bitter waters. And I close with this tonight. They come out of slavery. They come out of sin. But what were they confronted with? Bitterness. They were disappointed. Not going like I wanted to go. They were mad at Moses. Mad at God. I thought this was a piece of cake. And they came to a place of bitter waters. They couldn't drink the waters because it was bitter. Now look at what happened. Exodus 15, 25. Brother Clark, if you'll come. You got it, brother? And Moses cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved him. So if you want the cure for bitterness, starts with prayer. He cried unto the Lord. Oh God, forgive me of any bitterness. Oh God, show me any bitterness. I'm lacking joy in my life. Is it because of there's bitterness? That person really hurt me deeply. I have a short fuse. I'm not pleasant to be around. I come down hard on people. If that describes you, you might need to say, Lord, I cry unto you. And Lord, not only cry unto you, but there's prayer and there's revelation. The Lord showed him. I'm going to tell you, God will show you. That's why prayer is so important in your life, that you can't have a time of prayer, a consistent time of prayer, and God will begin to whisper things. You shouldn't have said that. I might not go through this, but I go through this. Been a preacher 25 years, an ordained preacher since 1994. I'll come home from work at Best Buy. I'll start thinking about the previous day or the day I just spent. And all of a sudden, the Lord is saying, you might have handled that a little too strong. I say, Lord, forgive me. Teach me, Lord. And the next day, I'll try to find somebody and say, hey. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to name the name of Christ. And I don't want everybody to know I'm a preacher. And the preacher part is really irrelevant. I'd rather be known to be a Christian, a servant of the Lord. John said, I'm a servant of the Lord. But I struggle with this. Lord, I want to be a good witness because I want people to have confidence in me that when I say come to church, they're not going to be like, I'll never go to church with that guy. He's all the time barking out and everybody's wrong but him, you know. They say, Ricky, man, you going to church? Where do you go to church? That's what I'm looking for. Amen. Amen. That happens to all of us in the school and in our neighbors when we show a spirit of love and a spirit of forgiveness and a spirit of mercy. You see, Best Buy people, they're not looking for perfect. They know Ricky and I'm not going to be perfect. They know you're not going to be perfect. We're all going to put our foot in our mouth. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to fall short. But it's how we come back from that, how we own up to it, and how we point back to, you know what, I need his grace. You know what? How many of you need his grace? Well, let me tell you something. You need to show his grace. Amen? Stand with me tonight. He showed him a tree. Can we do at the cross where I first saw the light? I'm sorry. I changed it on you. Because that's what God told Moses. He said, take that tree, put it into that bitterness. And as soon as that tree touched that bitterness, that water was made sweet. Oh, at the cross where I first saw the light. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of the bitterness. Oh God, help me, Father.
It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day.
At the cross.
At the cross. At the cross.
Oh God, we give you the bitterness. We give you the pain.
And the burden of my heart, it rolled away. It was there by faith.
Come on, lift your hands up to the Lord tonight. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to let the fruit of the Spirit manifest. No bitterness. Oh, we thank you tonight.
And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all today.
You know, I was telling you that bitterness comes from the root word bite, and I was telling you that the venom and that movie Snakes on a Plane that I was telling you about, where they released those snakes on the plane to kill the people. Well, let me tell you the good news about that movie is they got rid of those snakes and they landed the plane. You know how they got rid of those snakes? They blew a hole in the side of the plane and everybody bolted down and the snakes got sucked out through the air pressure. And my friend, I'm going to tell you, sometimes we just got to bust a hole through the heavenlies. And we got to praise God, and we got to hanker down in the love of the Lord, and we got to trust God for the remedy. There is a remedy for bitterness. We are blessed and highly favored of God. Can you give him a hand of praise? I am blessed and highly favored of God. And I want to pray this prayer.